In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 258th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode, How to Stack Your Falcons Draft Board. The draft is coming up April the 29th through the 1st in Cleveland, Ohio. The Falcons currently hold the fourth overall pick. Lots of speculation on what they're going to do. Will they trade back? Will they take Kyle Pitts? Will they take Justin Fields if the 49ers do him a solid and take Mac Jones? Or will they take Penei Sewell to fix their offensive line? We're going to look at how you stack a draft board, but let's look at the nine picks that the Falcons have. Fourth overall in the first round, 35th in the second round, the 68th pick in the third round, 108th in the fourth round, 148th in the fifth round, 182 compensatory pick in the fifth round, 183 compensatory pick in the fifth round, 187 in the sixth round, and 219 in the sixth round, their last compensatory pick. They traded their seventh rounder away to Miami in the Charles Jones trade last year. So there you have it. There are nine picks for the Falcons in this draft coming up. So, they've been putting in a lot of work. New regime came in, replaced, some of the scouts at the top and so forth. But what you got to do when you stack the draft board is you have 12 rows of 28 players. It's like 336 players. Now, you can shrink that as you go, but you got to start out with a big board like that. And the 12 spots, you're going to likely be quarterback, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, offensive tackles, then interior linemen. That's six offense, and then six on the defense. Defensive ends, defensive tackles, inside linebackers, outside linebackers, because they're going to be going multiple, so you want to have everything covered. And then cornerbacks and safeties. Now, we know just looking at the roster that, they got to go quarterback at some point. They got to go running back. They let all the safeties go. They signed a bunch of linemen and linebackers in free agency. And, maybe cornerback. They got to go cornerback. You have some coming back, but they haven't played up to par so far. So Pitts is the anomaly, so you don't have to go tight end. They got four on the roster now, but if he's so good, they can go ahead and take him. It might be fine at wide receiver. So you want to stack your board with those roles, 12 roles with 28 players in each role, position by position. A lot of that work was done in February at the February meetings of all of the scouts. Everybody comes in. They've been on the, normally would have been on the road, making sure they had the rankings of the top players and so forth. So once they get it stacked, then you bring in the coaches. The coaches get involved and go over the players that, they think might fit their scheme and their systems. And you get them prioritized in tiers. Like if you got So for instance, the five quarterbacks are in the first round tier. You have them in there. Then, you know, you have maybe another tier of quarterbacks that will go in the second or third round. Then you have maybe a middle group, fourth and fifth round and sixth round group. And then you got your seventh round and free agent group of quarterbacks. And so now you have to, once the board is stacked accordingly, at all positions across the board, because you want to plan for every contingency. Then everything goes back to the GM, the coach, scouting director, and your cross-check scout. You know, that normally would be after combine. You're cross-checking everything. All the work's been put in. You saw the games, you know, that you could see this year. And then, you know, in some cases with guys opting out, you know, you're doing film study from 2019 games. So you cross-check everything, and then you add a final value board. So you might have different positions ranked, like 1, 2, 3. So you got Fields, Pitts, Penny Sewell. They're probably going to have, you know, Pitts might have the best grade. So if you're going to be doing, like General Manager Terry Fontenot said, and take the best player available, then that's him. If it's Fields, then maybe it's Fields, it's him. Penny Sewell will be in that group too. And, you know, if you think you need to fix the offensive line, you do that. So that's how you would prioritize them by position on the value board. Now, once you got all the players that you believe are worthy and properly ranked at your position, then there's going to be guys who are kicked off of the board for either scheme fits, medical reasons, or character questions. And we know that in the past, there have been, you know, a lot of issues, and some guys don't make it to the Falcons board because of that. So you could have some guys kicked out because they don't fit the new scheme. Dean Pease doesn't like them. One example was with the Bears back in Lovie Smith's days. He never had a 6'2", 300-plus pound tackle on his board because, you know, they couldn't play in their cover two scheme, couldn't get up the field. You didn't need anybody to hold the blockers and so forth. So, you know, you got to make sure that you have players on the board that can help you, because you have to plan for the contingency that, hey, your guy might be gone, and you got to go to plan B. So you got your board, you got your value board, the scouts have had their input, the coaches have checked it. Now the decision makers are cross-checking all of that work before you come up with that value board. Then you got to stack by position. You've got that by position, then you got to stack by value. You know, what round you're going to take a guy in. Say, for instance, Jamie Newman. Is he a fourth or fifth round guy, or do you look at him as a sixth, seventh round guy? So the quarterback from Wake Forest and University was supposed to play at the University of Georgia, but things didn't work out for him there. So, and he opted out. So how high do you have him? So for them this year, you got to know where the drop off is at quarterback, pass rush, cornerback, and offensive lineman. So you must know the strengths and weaknesses of the draft and where it's going to drop off at. Now, this year, not a big pass rush draft. A lot of people are going to be taking some risk in the pass rush area. I know that Mel Kiper, in his mock draft, he went to the second round. He has the Falcons taking Gregory Rousseau out of Miami in the second round, the 35th pick. So You know, some people believe that Jalen Phillips out of Miami is a better defensive end, but he's got some medical issues that might scare some teams off. So you got to know the strengths and weaknesses of the draft. And another issue this year is with the no combine. The medicals are an issue, although the teams tried to work out things with the doctors to make sure that all the medical clearances were taken care of and everybody got their cross checks and got that information to all of the teams to make sure that they're available to all of the decision makers, so when they get their boards stacked, they can go ahead and make those picks. This is a big departure if indeed the Falcons do best player available, because we saw them not do that several times under Thomas Dimitroff. They would draft need. We saw it when they took Vic Beasley at 8, when Todd Gurley was over there on the board. Worked out, kind of, got him to a Super Bowl. Gurley helped the Rams get to 1-2, and then both players had a major dip in year 5 and year 6. You know, Todd tried to go on the bad leg the last couple of years, and whereas Vic just couldn't stick with the Titans last year, and seems to lose interest and so forth. So that didn't work out. We also saw him try to take need when they went Tack McKinley, but that was just a bad draft. Taco Charlton went a few picks later to Dallas. Charles Harris went a few picks ahead of McKinley, but Harris and McKinley are still in the league now. So McKinley's in Cleveland, Harris in Detroit, still trying to contribute and fulfill the promise of once being first round picks. So, you know, we're getting close to the draft, lots of speculation. The Falcons are at Justin Fields' second pro day today up in Columbus, Ohio, doing their due diligence. You know, Terry Fontenot way back when he first got here said, you know, how important it was to scout the quarterbacks, and, pointed to Ryan Wolf and the Green Bay Packers and how they, you know, drafted a quarterback pretty much every year because that was the best player on the board when it was their time to pick. So we're going to see how this goes with the Falcons. You know, they have this collaborative, and there's got to be some collaborative at that, some collaboration at that juncture where the GM, the coach, and the scouting directors meet with the cross-check scout just to double-check all the information, make sure there are no red flags, make sure the scheme fits are there, no medical issues, no character issues. And for instance, one of the kids in the draft, Michael Parsons from Penn State, he has an issue, a civil case that's pending that teams want to know more about. It was a kind of a hazing incident. And one executive said, yeah, it was a, you know, boys will be boys type of thing, but it went way too far. So it's just going to depend on the team and how much they want to put up with if he's going to be on their board or not. And a few years ago, Tyreek Hill, he had some issues in college, got kicked off the team in Oklahoma State, and some teams didn't want him, and he wasn't on everybody's board. So Kansas City, you know, took the gamble and went with it. And, you know, some of those problems cropped up early in his career, but it looks like he straightened himself out, and maybe they got him some help. So, hey, we're going to review here on how you want to stack your board. And a good way for you all to follow along if you want to stack your board is our position-by-position series is running in the paper at AJC.com. We're up to the tight ends. We'll have the linemen here. The tackles next. Tackles will be up next. We got the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and the tight ends. And we tear them off by what round we think they're going in. And so we could stack the quarterbacks. You know, we got the top 10 and then the best of the rest. So that's 15 at each position. And we can stack them in. We got five in the first round, the quarterbacks. Running backs, just two. Najee Harris and Travis Etienne. Wide receivers, I think we got six, with one of them being Rashad Bateman out of Griffin, out of Tiff County in Minnesota, one of the locals that will be going. And then the tight end group, we just have two, maybe two, in the first round. Certainly one, Kyle Pitts from Florida, and then the Freiermuth kid from Penn State would be the second tight end if they go that high. Now, the tackles will be interesting to see, where some teams have Slater and Sewell. Sewell has been talked about for the last few years as a game changer. So he can certainly be that here in Atlanta. And the guards and centers, you know, Creed Humphrey from Alabama is a big one. Well, that's Donison there. I'm sorry. Creed is Oklahoma. So, you know, we have those coming. And we'll slide into the special teams this weekend with the Georgia Tech punter being one of the top punters in the nation. And then we'll get into the defensive ends, tackles. But we just kind of lump the ends and outside linebackers together. And as pass rushers, edge rushers. And then we'll go interior guys. Barrymore from Alabama will be your top interior guy. And then linebackers, if Michael Parsons is on your board, he's going to be, you know, on your board maybe in a couple places, because he could play all three positions. He ran the 4.39. You could put him on the line to rush in pass rushing situations. So he's going to have an interesting grade on from a lot of different teams. And so your cornerbacks are going to be interesting to see how they stack. Because you got Patrick Surtain, too, out of Alabama, who I think is close to a consensus number one. Then you got J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son from South Carolina in there. Caleb Farley's got a medical, had back surgery here. So it's going to be interesting to see who takes a gamble on his medical situation, or see who's done enough homework on him to warrant that. And I got to do a lot more work on the safeties between now and the end of next week. I know we got the one down at TCU, but, you know, safeties are kind of hard because some teams like the in-the-box guy, the Deion Buchanan, Keanu Neal guy who come up and hit, and a lot of other people like the safeties who can cover, maybe not hit as much, kind of would be a traditional free safety, but, you know, with a little bit of pop. So it's going to be a couple different ways to look at that. That's why, you know, Keanu Neal wasn't rated that high, because they knew he didn't have the cover skills, but he had the physical talent that the Falcons wanted. And Carl Joseph was another one that year. He went high to Oakland, spent some time in Cleveland, and just went back to Oakland. But he was a hitter, too, but you didn't want to leave him over the top much. But he can definitely bring it that way. So we're going to get some more work on the safeties. But that's what we've been doing here the last few weeks, getting on these Zoom calls, getting as much information from our people that we talk to, and the teams and the players and the coaches. I thought Coach Dan Mullen down in Florida did a good job describing how Pitts is such a problem for people. He also did a good job of letting people know that Kadarius Toney is just kind of getting started. He was a high school quarterback at Blount High in Mobile, but he thinks his upside in the league at wide receiver is really, really good. And, you know, so that was pretty good. Also, Coach Saban did a great job with, quarterback Mac Jones. He said he was the manager, And he kind of defended it, said, hey, you know, you got to be a manager and so forth. So a lot of people are thinking that the 49ers traded up to 3 to draft Mac Jones. But some people believe that you don't trade 3 number ones to move up to 3 to take a game manager. But Kyle is a little different. That's what you keep hearing. That Kyle's evaluations of quarterbacks is a little bit different. That was him and his dad in Washington who didn't really want RG3. And they wanted Kirk Cousins. So they took Kirk Cousins in the 4th round. So if this is their guy and they traded up to get him and gave up all these number ones, man, that's going to be a stunner on draft day, because a lot of people think that might be a smokescreen for Justin Fields to go there. And if it doesn't happen, then the Falcons are sitting there with either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson in their lap, which, you know, they don't really need this year. You know, they really need the linemen. And, you know, but they're saying Pitts is such an intriguing talent that, you know, you might have to go ahead and take him too. So, or you get out of there. You get out of there, somebody give you some picks, and you go back and get some more defense. Problem is, there's no value in trading back now. The trade back move was with San Francisco, but you probably didn't want to go back to 12. But, heck, you would have had a whole lot more picks. And the other issue is Carolina got their quarterback in Sam Darnold. So you're only probably looking at Denver and maybe New England, but you probably don't want to go back that far. Now, I know Mel in his latest mock said the Falcons going back to 6 with the Dolphins, who want Pitts too. They want him for Tua. And then the Falcons would take Trey Lance, which would be the 5th quarterback going. And so, you know, he's a developmental, only played 17 games. They'd have to take 2-3 years to get him ready to play. Kind of like, you know, the old school training that Aaron Rodgers had in Green Bay. Pat Mahomes set for a while until he was ready. And Trey Lance would have to do that here in Atlanta. But it's becoming clear here on how the boards are stacking. We got almost 2 weeks to go here, and you know, stuff's starting to get clear. So in review here, how to stack your Falcons draft board, 12 rows of 28 players, 336. That's plenty, plenty, plenty to get you through 6th round of the draft, since they don't have a 7th. You got to stack the positions, and we got the 4 dots by cornerback, safety, quarterbacks, and running backs. And, you know, I didn't put it by defensive end because everybody knows they need a pass rush. So you can see where they're headed here in the draft based on how you stack the board. Once you get the position set, you have scouting meetings. They go back and forth and get the ratings on the players. The coaches get involved. Then the decision makers. Then you have a cross-check scout that's cross-checking everything. And that leads you to your final value board. Okay, once you get your value board, you start ranking players based on their slots, where you think they're going to go. And, you know, it could be positionless. You know, it could be quarterback, tight end, offensive lineman. We're thinking that's how the Falcons got the top 5, their top 3 spots stacked. Okay, and then you're going to kick out your medical guys, the non-scheme fitters, and the character guys. The big medical guy this year is Caleb Farley, who had the back surgery. And then you go over to, once you have that, got those guys off the board, because you know you're not going to take them, so you don't want them anywhere near the board. Then you have to determine where the drop-off in talent is. So everybody think it's 5 quarterbacks. Some people are starting to say, hey, David Mills from Stanford and GAC, who's top quarterback in the country, should be up in the 1st round too. So depending on where that tier is where he's going to go. Pass rushers, not a lot. Gonna probably have to take some people and coach them up. There's a drop-off at cornerback after the top five, and there's going to be a lot of wide receivers for the second year in a row. Pretty good offensive line, offensive guard group. So, you know, linemen are there to take. And then we've seen running backs kind of start going into the third and fourth round here as of late. And so, you know, the running back stack, let's just finish up with a little bit of that. After Najee and Travis Etienne, then you got the North Carolina backs, Javonte Williams. I really like Javonte Williams. Then you got Michael Carter. Then you got the Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis. And those guys will probably be there at 35. But, I mean, you can kind of wait and go. I mean, the big back Stevenson out of Oklahoma. You got Trey Sermon out of Ohio State, maybe third or fourth round on those guys. So I think you can get a back to come in and help help Mike Davis out as he comes over to take over some of the main running back duties. So we got a couple more weeks. It's heating up here. I'm sticking by my D-led Mock 4.0. Because the best football move for the team currently constituted is to take the lineman. I'm hearing all this Pitt stuff, but, I mean, you know, unless he's Ozzie Newsome, you know, or Shannon Sharp, or Tony Gonzalez, which some people think he is, Travis Kelce, then, you know, they got to take him. But, I mean, we know Matt Ryan's been sacked over 40 times the last 4 years. He could have Travis Kelce Jr. out there and not be able to get him the ball. So, you know, I just think they have to get better in the trenches on both sides of the ball. And if they took five linemen and four defensive linemen, that'd be a good draft. Or maybe sneak in a running back there. But, That's where we're at here, a couple weeks away. Come back to AJC.com. We'll try to get what we can out of that Justin Fields workout up in Columbus later today. And then we'll that should be it because the pro days are over. Although Trey Lance is going to throw again too. So we'll make sure we see if the Falcons go out to that because, you know, all the reports are out there that Terry Fontenot likes Trey Lance, and so forth and so on. So, and then they went to Jamar Chase's day. So we'll see. We're getting close, so hang in there. It's been a long draft season, and we're getting ready to get this thing over with. Get it started here, April the 29th through May the 1st in Cleveland, Ohio. So follow us on Twitter at DeOrlandoAJC. Hope you are enjoying some of our press-on features from AJC.com and how what some of the journalists are telling their story about how they press on and so forth. So hope you're enjoying that. And then you can also follow us on Facebook at Atlanta Falcons News Now, Twitter handle DeOrlandoAJC. With that, take care and have a great rest of the week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.